pleasure to be with you this morning and a privilege to share from God's Word. Our reading is from Luke chapter 15, so it's a very well-known passage. I'm going to read just one of the stories that Jesus told, but we're going to be looking at the whole chapter, so if you'd keep your Bibles open at the end. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there a severe famine in that whole country arose, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's men have food to spare, and here am I starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and this morning as we look at this passage together, a very familiar passage for many of us, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through it. Bring, Lord, to it fresh truths. Draw us closer to yourself, and speak to us in the way that we need to hear you this morning. For Jesus' sake. Amen. As I say, a very familiar passage, which I'm sure probably most of you are familiar with this morning. Let's look at the context to start with. Verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now the sinners and tax collectors were all gathering to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So you've got two groups of people there. You've got the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and you've got the sinners and the tax collectors. It doesn't actually say in that particular passage, depends on which tone of voice you read it. You could read it in different ways. But there are two clues, really, in two little words. The beginning of verse, it speaks about the sinners and the tax collectors. Then the beginning of verse 2, it says, "but." And then when it's talking about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, it says they muttered. But they muttered about the sinners and the tax collectors. You could tell that there was a resentment, and they looked down upon them. If you wanted to turn to chapter 18 for a moment, that sort of attitude of the Pharisees towards the other people is brought out in another story that Jesus tells in Luke 18 and verses 9 onwards. Two people going up to the temple to pray. And it says, and he starts off in the first verse again speaking, telling you who he's speaking to. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. So you could tell who he's speaking to. People who are uppity and arrogant and look down on the other people. And again, a familiar story. Two people in the temple. The Pharisee is at the front of the temple telling God really how good he is. Lord, I follow all that you've called me to do. I give taxes. I give taxes to the temple. I pay my tithes. I fast twice a week. I wash my hands before I eat. All these sorts of things. And then there was another man at the back of the temple who didn't mutter anything. It says he didn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He just looked down and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And then Jesus said to these people, who do you think was justified in the sight of God? And as with many of Jesus' stories, they didn't really need an answer. It was obvious, wasn't it? The person who recognized who he was and who God was. The Pharisees were just, if you like, on their own planet. They were looking at themselves. They thought they were fine. And they almost left God out of their prayers. And it was this attitude that Jesus was speaking about when he told these three stories. And really, the stories are all exactly the same. There's no difference between them. The message is the same to both of them. The first one was the sheep. Shepherd, looking after 100 sheep, comes to the end of the day, brings them into the sheepfold. Got his shepherd's crook ready, looking after them, counting them one by one. Imagine him counting them in the same way that Chris said that the lady counted the coins. Comes 97, 98, 99. Don't know whether he checked them or not. He might well have done. But it was coming night time. He'd probably been out on the hills all day. He was tired. He was fed up. Ready for a sleep. But one of his sheep was missing. So what did he do? Did he say, I've got 99 and was content with that? No, he didn't. He sealed the fold and he went off. And he looked. And you can imagine him walking and looking and listening and waiting until he found it. We don't know how long he searched, but we know that he didn't give in until he found the other sheep. And then he put it on his shoulders, took it back, put it in the fold, and then said to his friends, come and celebrate. I found the sheep which was lost. The woman with the coin. Chris has already told you the story of that this morning. But the woman lost her coin. She had to put a light on. Then she had to sweep the house. And she got a brush and kept going. We don't know how long it took. But we assume it took a long time. That she didn't immediately find the coin. But she had to keep on going. But again, in the same way that the shepherd kept looking, the woman didn't stop until she found it. And then the son, we read the story, doesn't really need any explanation. Unusual in that people weren't given their share of the inheritance until a person died. But this son wanted it. And the father graciously let him go. Obviously, the father didn't want to do that, but he let him go. The son went off, squandered his money, came to the very bottom of everything. for a Jewish person, feeding pigs was very significant. It wasn't what they wanted to do. And he'd have longed to eat what they had. But then he came to his senses. And it speaks about his father. He went back to his father, totally prepared. And it would seem in this passage that he was totally honest about what was going to happen. He was going to say, I'm not worthy to be your son. I'm more than happy to be one of your hired servants, as long as I've got a home to live in and something to eat. And he said this to his father, but his father had already looked out, and the fact that he saw him when he was a long way off seems to give the impression that he was watching and waiting. And when his son came, he threw his arms open and welcomed him. His son gave the talk about wanting to be a servant, but the father wasn't interested. He wasn't listening. I don't think he heard it. He said to his servant, get a ring for his finger and a robe for him and sandals for his feet. Kill the fatted calf and let's celebrate. Because this son of mine was dead and now is alive, was lost and is now found. And each of them are about being lost and being found and a celebration at the end of it. If you look in your Bibles, if you've got NIVs, and I don't think the Authorized Version does this, but most of the modern Bibles have put a subject heading above each one. And certainly in my Bible, the three headings are the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, or the prodigal son, as the Authorized Version would say. But you know, I think we could use different headings from that. And I always like to think of a different heading. And a different heading would bring a different focus. And the headings I would probably give them is the compassionate shepherd, the persistent woman, and the waiting father. And depending on how you put your headings is where you put your focus on. And you know, Jesus was speaking to two sets of people, the tax collectors and the sinners, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But he was also teaching about two different things. He was teaching about what was lost, and he was speaking about the one who found them. And the one who accepted them back. So firstly, what was lost? The sheep. By nature, sheep seem to go on the roam, don't they? I'm not a shepherd. I haven't got much experience of sheep. But when you look at them, they seem to be a little bit doing their own thing, taking no notice of anybody, wondering where they want to do. They have a will of their own, don't they? Not that they're bad or anything like that. It's just in their nature. Sheep wander off. Sheep get lost, I would think. That's what it seems to be. They're born that way. The coin, if you think of the coin, was lost through no fault of its own. I don't know whether the woman was being careless with it. As you see, she probably counted them quite regularly to make sure she'd got them all. But somehow, the coin had got lost. Through no fault of its own, through circumstances beyond its control, it somehow got lost. The son was different, wasn't he? He'd made a positive decision to go off on his own and to do his own thing. He wasn't content. He wasn't happy with where he was. The grass on the other side seemed greener. He wanted to do something better than he was doing then. And he wanted his money. And his father very graciously gave him that money. And he went off and he made a mess of things. It was deliberate. It was willful. It wasn't by accident. He wanted to do that. Eventually he knew he'd made a mistake, but he wanted to do it. You'd probably say he was selfish. He wasn't interested in what his father wanted or what his brother wanted. He went off and he did his own things. And in speaking about what was lost, Jesus was speaking to both of the groups of people there. He was speaking to the sinners and the tax collectors. He was speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But he was speaking to everyone else. And he was speaking to us as well. And in speaking to us, he was saying that everyone is lost. He took three different examples. But along with what the rest of the Bible says, Jesus was saying that in our natural state, without coming to Jesus, we're all lost. We're separated from God. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Paul in Romans chapter 3, when he said, there's no difference between anyone, Jews and Gentiles, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all by nature and by what we do separated from God. From the very time of Adam and Eve, right down the generations, every single person has fallen short of the glory of God and needs to be saved. None of us love God as we ought to. None of us, we aim to be, but our whole focus, Jesus, when he was summarized, again, somebody tried to trick Jesus. And they said, Lord, tell us which is the most important of all the commandments. And Jesus said, you can summarize the whole of the law and the whole of the prophets in two commandments. One is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the other is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if we're honest, and if we look at both of those commandments, none of us actually fulfill them. We really try, but we get it wrong. We don't love God with all our heart. We don't love our neighbor in the same way or as much as we love ourselves. Like the sheep, it's part of our nature. We're human beings. We're born that way. We're born somewhat selfish and stubborn and doing our own thing. And in fact, Isaiah, when he was speaking about the Savior who was to come in Isaiah 53, he spoke about us and he says, we're all like sheep. We've all gone astray. Each one of us has gone our own way. None of us have followed God in the way that we ought to. Like the sun, we've all done things that we know to be wrong. You know, we've all wanted our own way. We've all gone our own way. We've all left God out of the equation. And like the coin, perhaps many of us have been affected by circumstances around us. Things that have happened in our lives have also pushed us away from God. But the net answer is that we're all separated from God. We're all lost and we all need to be found. Secondly, Jesus is speaking about the one who found the sheep, the coin and the son. The one who drew them back. And we often forget this about this chapter. It's not just about what was lost, but it's about the one who found them. The shepherd had 99. You know, he could have just settled down for the night. He could have just thought, well, it's okay. Perhaps he'll come back in the morning. But he didn't. He went out and he searched for that sheep until he found it. He was a kind, he was a compassionate shepherd. The woman, again, had 9 coins. And as Chris said, they were worth £50 each, so it was worthwhile our going. I think that if they were worth 5p each, she'd have probably done exactly the same. You know, it was so important to her to find what she had that she kept on looking until she found it. And of course, the father was brokenhearted initially when his son went. It was against all the traditions. It brought disgrace upon the family in many ways, even just going. And then the behaviour when he was away, and as his elder brother said, he went with prostitutes, he probably gambled, he drank, he spent all his money. He wasted it. And yet, what was the father's response? He was looking and he was waiting for the son to return. And when he did return, he threw his arms around him and welcomed him. He gave him the best of what there was. And he threw a feast. And he said, "This son of mine who was dead is now alive. He was lost and is now found." And in each case, Jesus was teaching a lesson about what God is like. The shepherd, the compassionate shepherd who went out and searched for the sheep. And of course, in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." The woman who searched for the coin, persistently never giving up. And then the father who waited and waited and looked, looking for his son to return. And you know, there are three. We use that: a crook and a broom and the open arms. And you know, I think the open arms are one of the most powerful pictures in Scripture. You know, if I think of God, I know God is spirit, and I know we'll never actually see God, because for me, he's probably just he's a bright light, which we'll see Jesus, but whether we see God, I don't know. But the character of God to me is expressed in that picture of the open arms, waiting to welcome whatever anybody's done, however long they've been away from him. God is there with open arms, waiting to welcome people into his presence. And just to quote a few verses of Scripture, let me quote from Psalm 103. Words, again, you're probably very familiar with. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." Peter, in his second letter, was speaking about God and his patience. And he said, "God is patient. I'm not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." We are lost, and God longs to have us back. He longs for us to turn around and come to him. For that was the reason he sent Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's purpose in sending Jesus was to draw men and women back to himself. We've all fallen short, whether it's because of our nature, because of what we've done. But Jesus came and paid the price on the cross for our sins. And he knew what he was doing. Throughout his ministry, Jesus spoke about why he'd come. Think of Mark, when he said, Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, when he says, "Even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. He died that we might be forgiven. after the story of Lazarus, as Chris said earlier on, Jesus spoke and summarized his whole ministry when he said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." His ministry was to draw men and women and boys and girls back to God, to make that possible. He died on the cross. He paid the price for our sin, such that we can come to him by faith. The hymn writer put it beautifully. There is a green hill. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Where are you today? Are you lost, or have you been found? I suppose most of us here today have found the Saviour. There's been a point in time when we've come to faith, where we've seen ourselves, we've seen our sin, we've seen how great and gracious and wonderful and accepting God is, and we've turned to him, and we've come to him. But there might be some here this morning who can't say, "I'm found." Can't be really sure that they're found, but there's still a separation between them and God, and they need to come to Jesus and be found. And you can do that this morning. God's arms are wide open. He's made up the way. He's done everything that he needs to do for us. All we need to do is accept the gift which God has given, the free gift of Jesus having died upon the cross. Turn to God, say we're sorry, as the son did, put our faith in Jesus Christ, and turn and follow him. Because we can sometimes, if we're not careful, be like the Pharisees and the tax collectors, who think they're all right. That was their problem. They thought they were all right. They'd been to church. They were from the very time they were young, had been brought up in religion. They knew all the things. They knew all the right doctrines. They tried to behave in the right way. But their heart wasn't right before God. The exact opposite of what the Bible calls the sinners and the tax collectors. It wasn't a derogatory term for them. They were the ones who actually knew they'd done wrong and needed to turn to Jesus. It was the others, the religious people, people who'd been brought up that way, who somehow needed to be stirred and realise that they needed to turn to Jesus too. You know, and each one of us, whatever we are, however bad we've done things, however good we think we are, still needs to turn to Jesus and be found. And those arms are wide open. So if you don't know Jesus today, find someone who you know who does and talk to them and find the Saviour. But you know, before we finish, there's a little bit of the story which we haven't looked at. And we ought to look at it. For those of us who are found today, for those of us who are Christians, I think there's a very relevant message in the section at the end. The bit that we didn't get round to. The bit that oftentimes we don't get round to. And that's the attitude of the older brother. And it seems unfair, but Jesus was trying to make a point. The older brother had stayed there all the time. He was working somewhere out. Somehow he didn't know that the younger brother had come back. And when he came to the house, what he heard was the celebrations. And he wanted to know what the celebrations were all about. And when he found out, he was angry. He didn't want those celebrations for his younger brother. You know, as far as he was concerned, his younger brother didn't deserve those celebrations. His younger brother had had all his chances, and he'd given up on them. He didn't want his father to be welcoming him back. And he actually says in the passage, he said, all these years I've been working with you, and you've never killed a fattened calf so as I can have a party with my friends. And this son who's gone off and squandered all your money, done all wrong things, and you suddenly have a party for him. You can imagine him saying, what's the score? Where do I stand in this? And you know, I think for us who are Christians, for us who have been found, there's a very relevant message in that. What's our attitude to those of no faith and of other faiths? I wonder if you've ever looked at someone and thought they'll never become Christians and have given up praying for them. Or you look at some other people and you think, well, somehow what they've done, you know, can't be forgiven. We were studying in, Chris mentioned our home group this week, a fortnight ago, we were looking at Jonah. And of course, without going into the full details of the story of Jonah, Jonah didn't obey God. But in the end, the reason he didn't obey God, he didn't really want the people of Nineveh to be saved. He thought they were beyond the pale. They'd done so much wrong, he didn't really want them to be saved and to come to come to be right with God. And you know, what's our attitude towards those people who aren't saved? Do we give up on them? Do we sometimes think, you know, I've prayed for that person for long enough, I'm not praying any longer? Do we sometimes look at people, particularly as we perhaps walk around the city, and it might be homeless people, it might be young people who seem to be messing up on life, and do we sometimes give up on them? Or have we got the heart of the Father, recognizing that God has got those wide open arms and will welcome anyone into his presence? I mean, there are many verses we could speak about, but think of the Great Commission, where Jesus tells us to go out and make disciples, to preach the good news to every nation, and not to give in. To keep going, even though there doesn't seem to be a response. Even though, remember the words of Isaiah that Jeremy looked at the other week in his vision in Isaiah chapter 6. And we didn't quite get to that. I don't think he went further on. But there, he told Isaiah to go and speak to the people, even though they wouldn't listen. Go and preach the gospel. Go and tell them the good news. And Isaiah said, how long? And he said, oh, keep going until the cities are in ruins. Don't give in. You know, you've got a job to do. Go out and share the good news of this wonderful God with his arms open, waiting to receive people into his presence. That's your purpose. That's why I've saved you, to go out and share that gospel. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that we learned through it. We thank you, Lord, for this. Lord, this particular very well-known passage, but a passage, Lord, that, Lord, tells us so much about what we're like and what you're like. You know, we've gone astray, we're lost. And you're, Lord, you're a wonderful, loving, gracious, forgiving Father who longs for us to turn to you and to come back. And this morning, Lord, we just ask that, Lord, we will examine our hearts. I pray, Lord, that everyone here this morning would be sure that they belong to you, that their sins are forgiven, and that one day they will be with you in heaven. And Father, help us too to recognize the need around us. Lord, to not give in on people, but to be patient just as you are. Lord, grant these things in our life and make us into the people you want us to be, for Jesus' sake. Amen.